Okay, you ready?
Yes.
I'm gonna clap, and that'll be the actual beginning. Ready? 1, 2, 3, boom! Yeah, we are the Puppet Parent Podcast. Mm-hmm. That's right. We're puppeteers. We're parents.
Yes.
And we scoot closer to the to the mic.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I asked for that one. So it's week 5, episode 5.
Yeah.
We made it.
We did.
We didn't start with a bank of episodes. We just went whole hog. We're just going to be live every single week.
Doing it live.
Because what other commitments do we have, really?
A lot.
That was a rhetorical.
Oh. Well, you know what? It's been a hard day.
Yeah.
Today was a hard one.
Yeah, I know. So Bernie Silver passed away today.
And for those of you who don't know, she was the oldest living American puppeteer. She was 106 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she was also a good friend. So while it's just hard. I don't know. I don't have a lot to say about it other than I'm just really sad. I definitely had a big, long, hard cry today about her death and about worrying about other people that I love so much. And I don't know. It's tough.
It's hard. I mean, well, she was born in 1914 or maybe 1913. Mm-hmm. She was 106. So, but her nursing home, the Actors' Home, is like so many other nursing homes out there that just got totally whacked. Because once you have a confined space, and people can't leave, and let's say maybe that they're like, you know, like elderly, it's just like the perfect storm for, you know, like something bad to happen.
So like a month and a half ago, when I was freaking out about this before everybody else got to have their own personal freak out moment, I was thinking to myself, in the midst of worrying about all these other things, like about our elderly community of friends and loved ones, and Bernice was one of the first people I thought of, and I just thought, this can't be the reason that Bernice goes, and it's the fact that, you know, she lived this long, and then it is the reason. And I don't know, it's just hard for me to handle that, to like really internalize that. I don't know. It's tough. Tonight at 7 p.m., you know, every night we do the 7 p.m. clap out the window. And most nights it's to thank my why is to thank the essential workers, because that's what I've always was being motivated by. And tonight, you know, I got news that the statistics now are that one out of every 1,000 New York City residents has died from this. And that was heavy. That was heavy, along with the news about Bernice. And so I, you know, took my little drum out the window. I went actually out the window, which I hadn't been doing. I've just been keeping the screen door down. But tonight I wanted to lean out the window and just see somebody, like, just because the way that our apartment is facing, you can see other apartments, but nobody else is like leaning out of their window. Nobody has a balcony facing us, and we're not facing a street. So tonight I leaned out with my little drum and I'm hitting it, and I see one person in their alleyway drinking a beer, and he's like, and I'm like, and then I keep hitting. And I just felt like we're all saying tonight, we're here. We made it. We made it another day. It had a very different feeling for me tonight than it has other nights. And at the end, he went like that. Peace. I was like, so that was
maybe,
nice.
Maybe he's also having his one beer a day quarantine.
Yeah, I haven't even had my beer yet. I feel like I missed out. You know, maybe I should go get one right now. No drinking on the podcast.
I don't know. I mean, it's not that kind of podcast.
I think everybody would be okay with it. No, I don't know. We'll see what they say. Lindsay's watching. Hi, Lindsay.
Hey, Lindsay.
We love you so much.
Thank you, Lindsay, for sharing. I love reading your words, and you are an inspiration to all of us. So thank you.
Yeah.
I think last week we were talking about what the puppeteers in Brooklyn that were bringing us joy.
Oh, yeah. Live from the Stoop.
Yeah. The what are they?
Out of work puppeteers. Yeah. Isn't that what they're called? The out of work puppeteers. They're just so irreverent. I love it.
Yeah.
It makes me happy.
So on the opposite side of things that, so the spread of the protractor of things that give us joy, that's like silly things, but then also like really deep things. And Lindsay Ebermeyer Smith is like feeding the soul food, you know, and you need both. You need to laugh, and also you need somebody to talk about the really deep things. Before I went to talk at the big national puppeteer conference with all these amazing huge names of, you know, puppeteers all in this one Zoom meeting, I listened to Lindsay's words, and she was talking that week about our roots. We got to get back to our roots. And she talked about how this is trauma. We're all going through trauma, and I hadn't thought about that yet. And so I brought some of those. I sent an email over saying, hey, can we read some of her words before we do it? Because it's like very personal and very powerful, and there's a call to action, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, can we read this at the beginning? And unfortunately not, because it wasn't enough time. But I took some of those words and presented them as like, you know, little bits of truth about like, this is the situation. And even though we're all just still fighting to survive, you know, in terms of economic survival, you know, it's hard. It's hard, but it's trauma. And I hadn't really thought about that. But, you know, it's like yesterday... Actually, the last few days, it was like, I know I have things I have to do, but I don't have the motivation to do them. And I'm like, oh, that's depression. Here we go. Okay. So, all right. So I'm depressed, right? And every time you're like depressed, you have to have the realization of like, oh, okay, this is what's happening and this is why. Mm-hmm. And then once you know that, then you're like, okay, well, you know, acknowledge the problem. And then figure out a way out of it, which is usually like sitting down and watching a comedy special or something. I don't know. Everybody's got their own thing. It's like hiccups. Like, you got to cure your hiccups. Everybody's like, you know, like hold your breath or get scared or, you know, relax your diaphragm. Everyone has their own cure for depression too, or at least temporary, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's... The fact that it's going to continue, I think we don't know when, how much longer. I mean, now they're saying mid-May. I have huge worries about our performing community and the spaces that occupy the performing community here in New York City. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think that we're going to reopen in the fall. Like, I mean, not we, I mean, like the city, like the performing community aspect of the city, which is so much a part of being in New York City, is you're a performer, you live here, you work here, you came here because it's New York. Like, there's Broadway. It's for a lot of people, it's New York or LA. And we chose New York, you know?
Oh, it was closer.
It was closer, but also it's New York. And we love New York, and I don't know, New York without that feels hollow. You know, I mean, there's so much that's not happening right now. I miss our city. Like when we bang those pots and say our hoots and hollers at 7 and clap. I mean, that's a little part of us kind of every night kind of collectively saying, we got this. We can do this. We're still here. We're still surviving. You neighbor, we hear you. You're here too.
We're like the Who's in Horton Hears a Who.
Yeah.
You know, like making all kinds of noise, trying to be heard, you know, finally breaking past the dust cloud of their speck.
Yeah, maybe a little. Yeah. Well, we're all collectively hooting a little bit, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. And then I do get worried about the kids and their mental hygiene, their well-being. Are they getting depressed, you know? I don't know if anybody else is feeling that. I mean, let us know in the comments. Hi, Tanya. Oh, that's nice.
That's right. We're here.
We are here.
We're here.
Yes,
we're here. We're
that's
here.
Right. We are here. That's mm-hmm. what it is. It's like, I don't know. I live for that moment now. Every night at 7 is like important for me. Even tonight when I just had a big old cry about 15 minutes prior. And then, you know, I thought, you know what? It's almost 7. That's nice. Something to look forward to each day.
I feel like it started as like people clapping, but now it's more like people connecting with each other. And it's funny because like shouting out a window seems like a classic New York City thing, you
well,
know.
I
like,
think it depends what but, you're shouting.
Yeah. That always, no. There was a so there's an episode of the very old now TV show Night Court.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I was a kid when I watched Night Court back in the 80s. So a lot of the humor, the adult humor, was completely lost on me. But I've been thinking about this, so I should go back and rewatch one of these episodes. So there's one episode where I don't know the setup, but in the very end of the episode, the female lead, like the blonde defense lawyer, is so fed up or motivated or depressed or something. And they had talked about doing this earlier in the episode. She goes up to the window and hikes up her skirt, and she's like, "Look at me, New York!" But and then she hears, "Look at me, New York! Hey, look at me, New York!" And there's this cacophony of people flashing each other out the window, I guess. But it feels like very similar. Like this is like a New York tradition, you know, of like people in windows yelling. You know, or it's always like, you know, don't stop too loud because the people who live downstairs will hear you. You know, it's like, I know they can't hear us because they've been gone, because there's a package outside their door that they haven't picked up for a week. You know what I mean? It's like we're all stacked on top of each other. Like we all feel each other all the time. You know, like the passive aggressive notes on our neighbors' doors. You know, is there some kind of feud between the smokers and the non-smokers?
We don't know. We're not part of it. We are not a part of that. Thank goodness.
Right.
But you know, in case Dennis is watching, hi, Dennis. Yeah. We love you guys, and what a sticky situation that is.
Thank goodness and, we're not above the smokers, because, geez, that would just be awful. Thank goodness, right? No, I think we lucked out because the people who live downstairs from us are gone, like they left for whatever reason.
Maybe it was because our kids jumped on the ceiling too much.
They're like, we gotta live in quarantine with this?
That, I can't. I mean, we were trying for a while to have them quiet down, and then I was just
they're pretty good. They're pretty good. Even today, you know, with their oldest who would probably listening to us from the next room if he wasn't completely absorbed in a book. Just banging on the floor, sitting, eating dinners, bang with his feet, bang,
that's
bang, 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 bang,
do.
Bang, 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 bang,
that's
bang, you
how
know.
He eats. That's what he needs to do with his feet.
Did I ever tell you, one time when he was sick, he wanted to roll we had like a rolling chair, like a swivel chair. He wanted to roll on it, and I was like, okay, you know, try and make him feel better, because he was like one. And so he's just like, vroom, like across the living room, and vroom, all the way back and back and forth and back and forth. So finally, bump, 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 bump. Oh, it's the downstairs
here?
Neighbor.
Is
yeah.
It here?
Yeah. It was like 6 in the morning.
Oh no.
He was sick. You know, we were all awake, and he's just like, just open the door. He's just like a zombie. He's like, can you please?
My God,
I'm like,
I'm not
so sorry.
I remembered the basketball moment where Leaf was also about maybe 1.5. And
yes.
Had a basketball that he was occasionally like letting go and bouncing onto the floor, and then like grasping it, and it would make a big boom sound just once, you know, and then he wouldn't do it again for a while, and then boom again, and then eventually doot, 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 knock, knock, knock.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, no more basketball in the house, honey.
You know, and yeah. And we were respectful. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like those are the only two times that anybody ever came up, and that was like old neighbor. Now we have like new neighbors downstairs. Actually, that was like two neighbors ago, and there hasn't been anything since. You know, everyone's the kids have been really, really good about that. And nobody lives above us. Thank goodness.
That's true.
It's just pigeons and squirrels right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I watched a video of a pigeon swatting a rooster. It's whack with those wings. Do you remember when we saw the biggest pigeon type in the world fighting a peacock at the Bronx Zoo? Were you with me that day?
I don't remember.
You would have remembered it. So we're in the Bronx Zoo, and the Bronx Zoo is amazing. It's one of the best zoos in the world. And they have this huge bird world, which people don't usually go to the bird exhibits, but it's like you like walk in and everything's open air and there's this bird species everywhere.
That's a Queens Zoo. No,
not the aviary, the outdoor aviary. No, it's an indoor bird world.
At the Bronx Zoo.
At the Bronx Zoo.
I don't remember that part.
So it's like you're going to blink and you miss it because the place is so huge. Anyway, so there's a species of pigeon that is like massive pigeon, and it has like this like Dr. Seuss like mazy like flower thing sticking up off its head. It's like Queen Victoria pigeon or something like that, and it's like sitting there with one wing up, and we're like, what's happening? And we see one of the many peacocks get a little too close, and then bam. Because, you know, like pigeons, when they flap their wings, you know, you hear like a pop, 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 pop. When they want to, they're like whack. And there's a big sound, too. So he was like, the peacock's getting a little too close, whack, and a little too close, whack. And then finally, he just jumped on him, bam, smashed him right in the head. And the peacock's like, and tries like pecking him back. And it's this giant bird fight.
Bird fight at the zoo.
Giant bird fight. Like, you see the sparrows flying around trying to murder each other. You know, that's something. That's like Speedy. This is like two huge hulking masses of birds duking it out.
Oh my gosh. No, I totally would have remembered that. I was not there that day at the zoo.
Yeah. So it's been going around the internet today. Pigeon is sitting probably in the rooster's nest, and the rooster just won't back down. Just keeps whacking him in the head over and over and over until he falls.
Oh boy.
I know. Birds. Birds, dinosaurs fight dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what the birds are thinking about all this. If they can think about, if they have the capacity to think about this. I mean, you know, because they would notice, like, things have changed. I wonder what the animals are thinking if they are. And, like, what are the, like, I know our cat is super happy. Like, our cat is so happy that we're home all the time. She's like, this is the best thing ever. Whatever's happening in your human world, keep it up. Because I'm getting pets. I'm getting attention. She just trimmed my nails. Life is good. I wonder what the dogs are thinking, though. Because they're probably just like, this is the lamest, shortest walk ever. Or the other way around, we've been walking for like an hour. Because it's your only excuse to go outside.
Well, what's crazy is because I'm tuned into the feral cat community and the dog walking community. The dog walkers, there's this big scandal because now that there's like no rules, we live in a community where there's like, you know, the cops have better things to do than to like police dog walkers or just people out walking their dogs. So there's one woman who's been letting her big gray dog off the leash and just kind of wandering around the sidewalks. And this dog has bitten people and humans.
Oh my gosh.
Somebody was like, this dog bit my face and I have to go to the hospital now.
What?
Yeah. And they're like, and I called the cops and they won't do anything about it. You know, they got better things to do.
Oh my goodness.
So it's like, it's a little like, I think the dog people are going to take it into their own hands. You know what I mean? Like when I was out with number two, the smaller one.
Yeah.
You know, and there were a lot of dogs around, like, I had to pick up a stick because I'm just like, where's the dog with the irresponsible owner who's like, well, there's no rules and there's nobody else around. So usually, like, when there's a lot of people around, somebody's always going to come over and help. That's just like the New York City way, you know, but now there's nobody.
It's true.
So you feel, I mean, I don't feel more vulnerable, but it's like with if I have the kid out with me, then yeah, I feel more like, you know, like Papa Bear, like what could go wrong kind of a thing.
I know it's the opposite of I think what people think of when they, if you don't live in a big city, maybe you would think that having a lot of people around would make you feel uncomfortable, but actually having a lot of people around makes me feel safe because most of those people are really good, awesome people who, you know, just doing their own thing. But if you needed something, they're totally going to help. You know, like the time that like Leaf started to throw up on the subway and I was like, I need a paper bag. I need a bag. Somebody, I need a bag. And like five people were like, here you go. Bags, wipes, whatever you need. And I was like, thank you. Oh God. So, I mean, but people just want to help. And, but the weird thing is going out for walks now and having hardly anybody around. Or if somebody sees you, they like cross the street. I mean, it's, I don't know. It's weird.
It's different.
I keep, every morning I wake up and I'm just like, please let this be a dream. Is it still happening? Oh, it's still happening. Like, and then I've been having really bad dreams. Have you been having bad dreams?
I mean,
I've been having really
no,
bad
but I've
dreams.
Been grinding my teeth in well, my then, sleep. Just
I think that
wake up and my teeth are like, why? Why'd you do that? It's not a good choice. And I texted my dentist. I was like, hey man, I think it's time. The remaining wisdom tooth, like we talked about it before, like it was go time for that one. And he's just like, just take some pain meds, man, and watch it. And when it's time, let me know. So I'm like, great. So I'm just going to have this tooth rotting in pain in the back of my mouth because it's too dangerous for the dentist and for me to go in. And if I go in, it's just going to be a pull job where he's alone.
I've been thinking a lot about dental work right now, too. Like, what are people doing if they have emergency dental work, you know? Like, Tanya says the anxiety dreams are awful. Yeah. Yes. I had a dream last night. It was like standard crazy-making dream, you know, where all of my family members are involved and they're all making very bad choices and it's driving me crazy. But then also layered on top of it is like the stress of school stuff. So somehow we're in this like new hippie commune situation building that has become a safety space, like safe space. And I'm like there and I'm supposed to like be in charge of making sure that we're getting all of the stuff done for, you know, our older child's school. And we have to show up in this one room to do this like weird egg hunt thing, but I can't seem to find the room or get everybody there. Like I find one person, but then three others leave and, you know, and then suddenly everybody's wet their pants and I'm just like, what is happening? And then I wake up and I'm like, that's the start of my day. How is that the start of my day? And this is all still happening and real. I don't know.
You know what my old psychology professor used to say? Never share your dreams with people.
Now y'all know how weird I am.
No, when you say those things out loud, it's like people are, you know, it's like it's so easy to interpret when it's not you. You know what I mean? He gave the example where he's like, you're like, because this was in high school, my first psych class, and he was like, yeah, we used to talk about our dreams in class, but then this one girl gave her dreams, and it was like, and I tried to open my closet door, and it just kept pulling on the handle. It wouldn't open, and then I got it open. There's all these empty Coke bottles inside with dust all over them, and everyone was like, and she's like trying to pull on this cord to get the light to turn, like all these like incredibly. What? Spell it up. Girl had a dick dream.
Oh, she
dick
did?
Dream. Yeah,
how
of course.
How is that a dick dream?
Because it's like pulling and twisting Coke bottles with dust on them.
Oh,
it's
glass like, Coke bottle, I guess. Yeah, it's a bottle. Yeah.
Yeah, we bitted the Coke. So,
dream interpretation.
I will not share my dreams, but I don't, but I'm remembering them anyway.
Now, Steven says he's been dreaming of war zones and hitmen.
Yay. Yeah. Well, that sounds normal.
Crazy dreams. but I think the hardest part is that it's not like I wake up in the middle of the night from these dreams. I only usually have dreams if I have gotten a little more sleep than I'm used to. So I usually get about 6 hours of sleep a night, which is not great. I should be getting more sleep, but I just, that's my solid six. And then if I get more than that, then we go into dream territory and things get a little shaky because my dreams are usually not great. And then I wake up and I feel like, oh, that was a horrible start to my day. Oh, now we get to do a whole day of intensity and stress and schoolwork and all the things. But, you know, on a positive, the schoolwork stuff has actually been going pretty well. We have one kid who's 4 and a half who's in preschool, and he's doing okay, although I have concerns about him socially because he loves people, and I think that maybe he's feeling a little depressed, and I need to start figuring out ways for him to feel like he's connecting with other people, but maybe not on a screen because also that's not like working for him, you know, like the whole screen thing is not like he's a little too young for it, and it's just not what he wants, you know. He wants to play in real life with people, so I don't know. I have to get creative and think about some more things of ways to make our days more fun and silly and at least a couple times a week, like surprising for him. And then for our older son, who is 7 in first grade, they don't do screens at his school until 4th grade. So he's been doing a lot more paperwork and like hands-on projects. But we've really gotten into a routine now at this point, and it's really been going quite well. Are you going to let the cat in?
Yeah. Is that her? Yeah, probably.
Yeah. you know, it's been going really well, and I'm really pleased with that. Like, it took a few weeks to get into a routine of it all, and now we're really kind of finding our groove. And that's been really nice, you know. He gets to pick a couple of subjects each day, and then he swaps some things out. And I, my job, my challenge is to keep thinking of new things that would fit within the realm of stuff that he's working on academically, but then are also things that he likes to do. So that's our cat, Aura.
We're gonna get, yeah.
She's a little loud sometimes.
She's a tortie.
So. She wants attention.
She's like, come pet me. Aren't you petting me?
Yeah, I know. I just trimmed her nails too right before this, so she's probably like, why did you do all that and then not give me all that attention like I usually do? But I don't know. It's 5 weeks in. 5 weeks.
5 weeks. Meow.
5 weeks. High five. 5 weeks. Wow, she's being so loud. Come over here and sit. Come over here. This is what our podcast people want to hear, is us coaxing our cat over so we can give her pets so she'll be quiet.
Oh, here we go. So Casey Newman saying,
yeah,
Fairfax and Virginia just started virtual school last week. Virginia, man, making it happen, by the way.
Okay.
Turning blue. They did live instruction for one day, and then they had to suspend the rest of the week because security was lax and some bad stuff happened.
Yeah.
That happened. Yeah. That happened to... Right before everyone started shutting down.
Come on. She wants to leap, but she's not. The cat is also clumsy, so she wants to leap from the bed onto Chad's lap, but she's concerned that she's not going to make it because she's an old lady a little bit. Come on. You want to do it?
No, she's not going to do
it. Okay, she's not going to do it.
She's going to, like, wander down.
But anyway, the live instruction stuff is just not where we're at, which is fine and great. And actually, I really enjoy teaching the kids, but I also have a job. For those of you who don't know, I'm the foundation manager of the Jim Henson Foundation, and so I'm supposed to be doing that job 32 hours a week. And so I'm teaching the kids and then trying to find the hours to put in for the Henson Foundation job. And then we're also doing this stuff for WonderSpark, which is a company I started with Chad more than 10 years ago. And there's no relaxing time. There's none. Maybe I find a minute or two here or there, but that's something that that's hard, you know, and there's so many dishes. Today, I promised myself I was going to stay on top of the dishes. I was like, that sink is going to stay clean. We are going to do our dishes as we make them dirty, and they will. That's what's going to happen. But you know what? It's impossible because people need to eat throughout the day, and then it's just like more dirty dishes. And you try and keep up with it, but then we have these scheduled things. Like today, what do we have today? You had a private show, and then we had a party that we were a part of, which was a Zoom party, which was... figuring out, the mom was figuring out, we were figuring it out, but it went really well and everybody was super happy, and happy birthday, Theo, I think I can say the name. It was very exciting. And then after that, I had a personal event for my friend, Susie, who was having a birthday party. So I wanted to go to that. And so then it's like, well, that was like a half of our day. And somewhere in the midst of that, we did school because even though it's a Sunday, we're not taking off a weekend. Because when we did that, Mondays were horrible, horrible. It was like, what, you gave us 2 whole days off with like no plan and nothing to do, and now you want us to get back to school? So now we just do school every day, some school every day, no day off. Because that's the only way that we can get around like our crazy schedule.
And it works.
Everybody's cool. Mm-hmm. Our younger son, who's 4 and a half, wore his water shoes all day today without socks on, which I didn't realize he didn't have socks on. Yeah, and then at the end of the day, he had blisters on the bottoms of his foot. Just 1 foot, thank goodness. But oh, I feel so bad. I was like, how did you wear these without socks all day? And plus, his feet stank so bad. He's got your feet, I think.
My feet. Well, he sweats through his feet.
He does.
Yes.
He does. He definitely does.
Yeah, it's not a great... Well, I could be like, thanks, Mom. You know, and so on up the line. But, you know, I guess there are worse things than sweaty, smelly feet.
Well, Casey says, instead of the song, the song that never ends is the dishes that never end. It's true. And we don't have a dishwasher. So it's like you have to make... You have to empty the rack, so you have room to do the dishes, then you do the dishes, and they have to dry, then you empty. It's just like this constant doing of the dishes. Everybody's always eating. They're eating all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of think the people who have dishwashers are kind of like the Jetsons, where like they still complain about the dishes, because it's true, but it's like... They're like pushing the button to have it do it by itself. Oh, this is so... Oh, man, I have to load the dishwasher. Oh, no. I have to unload it. Oh, goodness.
I don't even really fully understand dishwashers. I'm just going to...
No?
No, I've never...
Oh, man, you got to look up... So many people have put their GoPro inside a dishwasher to capture the magic of what happens.
What?
Do you know what happens?
It gets wet.
Yeah, no, so you think it'd be like a washing machine where it's like spinning or something. No, it's just like... There's just like a cylinder that just pops up like whoop, and just sprays everything.
Like hard,
yeah,
right?
Hard. And then down it goes. And that's it.
I don't know.
Water.
It's just a lot of dishes in our life. We did get a grocery delivery slot. People were asking about that last week. This is the big news, people, is that one of my friends texted us and said, Fresh Direct has slots right now. And I was like, on it. And then I went on. There they were. So we have Wednesdays between 2 and 5 p.m. delivery. And so I'm going to finish our shopping cart order tonight. So exciting. Now we have a weekly reservation. So that was huge. And like just a relief, because now we can get some things that like we were starting to run low on. Because while I did do a huge grocery run like a month and a half ago, like we've used a lot of that stuff because nobody's eating outside of the house at any point ever, you know? So like, you know, a lot of the food that we bought got eaten.
Except for like canned beans and ramen, which are like...
Well, some of that
like
has gotten
eaten. An emergency stash, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It was a week of like... You know, you count on getting a grocery delivery, right? I mean, that's what you do when you're fancy pants in the city. But even, you know, our country cousins are having that too. It's nice. It's like in New York City, going outside to a packed grocery store is like, I mean, it's
oh,
not like
it's so stressful.
It's not like a death sentence, but it's still just like
anxiety attack.
Yeah. So you don't want to do that. So you gotta have it delivered, and we've been having it, mm-hmm. you know, delivered, which is a huge time saver.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, wow, it's a health saver too.
Tanya, who lives in Boston, and she's a fellow theater maker, puppeteer, she says she woke up at 4:30 a.m. to reserve a slot for 10 days from now. And I was trying to do that. I was staying up until like midnight, 1 a.m., like hitting refresh on the thing, waiting for a time slot. And then I swear, there was one night where I was waking up at like hourly increments anyway, so I would just like roll over, pick up my phone, check it, and then I swear to God, it was like one of these mornings, 5 a.m., I saw slots, and I could have sworn I reserved it, but maybe I didn't hit the button or something right, or maybe I dreamed it, because then I went back to sleep, and I woke up like 2 hours later, and I was like, Chad, we got a slot, look, and it's gone. And I was like, no. But then that same day was the day that our friend texted us and told us, there's slots, and I was like, yes.
Well, that was crazy. I mean, we don't have food anxiety for a week. I was like, well, are we going to start eating ramen now and figuring it out? And like, you know, like my dad sent us some frozen food because it was mm-hmm. like looking in the fridge feeling like we don't have any protein, you know,
or fresh produce.
Yeah. And it's like we got our local, kind of like our secret local tiny mini mart. It's almost like a family mart.
Yeah, it's like a larger corner deli.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go there. It's like 7 in the morning. Nobody's there, which is nice. But this selection is not great in terms of like things that will sustain you.
It's also very expensive. So, you know, it like how much would be like a half gallon of milk?
I mean, it's like plus $1 or $2 for everything.
At least.
Like you can't get frozen French fry bags for under $7.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was costing us so much more money to go to the local store, and we need to be saving that money right now. And you know, and that's another thing that has continued. Can we just talk about the SBA loans for a second, just because that was a huge source of stress for us this week? Is they ran out of money, and we feels like we ran out of time on that. We were trying to apply for a PPP loan. We really tried to do all the right things and all the right steps, but we were caught in this loophole. Part of the thing, this is all part of the stimulus package that was passed by the government, where small businesses under 500 employees are supposed to be able to get some loans, that some of the loan will be forgivable to help sustain their business. Well, that's all well and good as long as you can apply for the loan. And the thing was, is that they were saying, well, okay, you need to go through your bank. Well, our bank is a credit union because, you know, 10 years ago,
'cause banks suck.
Close your account day.
Banks are evil.
Through Occupy Wall Street, we were like, you know what? Goodbye, Bank of America, and all your fees and everything that you've been secretly doing behind people's backs. We are going to take our money and go to Actors Federal Credit Union because we love them, and I'm already a part of this union, SAG-AFTRA, and we can be a part of this credit union. And we did, and we love Actors Federal. They're amazing, but they're not an SBA-approved lender. So we could not go through them to get the loan. So then they said, okay, well, then just find another bank that is an SBA-approved lender so that you can apply for the loan. Well, all of the banks that we've approached so far, they keep saying, no, sorry, we're not taking on any new clients at this time. You would have had to have already had a business account with us mid-February. Okay, so then the next step was, all right, well, you can go through this third party, which is kind of like a Match.com or OkCupid for finding a bank for this situation. And a couple of the names that were told to us were Cabbage, that's K with a K, and Lendio. And so, all right, so I go on that site, I look at all the things we need to have in place. One of the things that you need to have in place is your 2019 taxes. Like, you have to have everything set for your taxes. Well, all our tax stuff was with our accountant because the tax deadline got extended until like June or July or something. And so we didn't rush on that because everything else was so stressful that we were just like taking our time. We got it to her. We didn't, you know, pressure her to get the stuff done sooner because everything's crazy. Well, then all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, we need that stuff. We don't have that stuff. And she was waiting on stuff from us, which I didn't even realize. So it was just this whole big mess. And then at the end of it, We get the tax stuff and they're out of money. So, I mean, the hope is that that program is going to get refunded, but it really feels like, you know, it's just frustrating.
I was reading about a guy who was like, yep, I had my reservation 2 weeks in advance with my bank guy, you know, like on the Friday or right before the Friday where, you know, you're supposed to be able to apply. And then we learned that, of course, like all these giant franchises scooped up millions and millions, like Shake Shack took $10 million.
I saw that.
And it's like, well, all right. But if all these places took the money and then fired all their employees, is it really a small business? Or, you know, do you really qualify if you're going to take the money and run? I mean, I guess it feels like, well, that was the whole point anyway, right? Was just to tell everybody that it's going to be great. And then kind of like, oh, actually, it's business as usual, where the giant corporations take all the trillions that were allotted.
I mean, less than 500 employees. Like, what about a micro business loan? Like, less than 10 employees, less than 5 employees. I mean, like, mm-hmm. There's the part of the issue is that everybody was asking for this stuff so fast, and there's nobody else to do this work except for us. And, like, what are we doing? We're, like, parenting, and we're trying to stay, you know, relevant, and we're trying to, like, maintain, you know, my boss's expectations of, like, what has to happen for my nonprofit job. And, you know, also like try to stay sane in the midst of this like very traumatic situation where we're living in a city where people are dying, like over 9,000 people have died in our city, and you have to get all this paperwork done like so fast. It just felt very unfair. The whole thing felt unfair, and it was supposed to be money that was directed towards people like us, and I feel like at the end of the day it actually wasn't. So I'm just like a little mad and a little frustrated about the whole thing, and I do hope that there's some kind of like refunding of it so we can get a second shot, but at the same time I'm not holding my breath, and you know, we'll have to just keep figuring it out. My mom asked me, she's like, well, did you get your stimulus check? And I'm like, Mom, no. No. And she's like, oh, well, maybe you will. I don't know. I mean, it just feels like, well, it feels so difficult to trust anything that's happening with and from the government right now. Not to get political on this, but it just, I think that's another side of it too, is that there's so much mixed information happening. Everything feels haphazard. It feels like everybody is just running around trying to like put a Band-Aid over a huge, huge situation. You know, like a huge issue. Like, I mean, so many people are dying and so many people are sick, and I just don't feel taken care of by our federal government at all. And I mean, I do appreciate the daily talks from Governor Cuomo. I'm one of those people who listens to him daily when he gives those conferences, because, and I really appreciate them, and I appreciate his candor and his words of encouragement, you know.
Mm-hmm. And not everything that he's saying or that our state government is saying, like, you know, I agree with or we agree with, you know, like they rolled back some of the nice reforms that they had put into place you know, months ago, which sucks. But it's just so hard to look across the pond at our friends up in Canada who are like, yeah, I got my $2,000 in 3 minutes. I just logged onto this website and put my info in, and boom, it's done. Isn't that so easy and nice? You know, and here it's like, well, if you don't do it right, you're committing fraud. Yay. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. Why is the onus on us to like fight our way out of this and fight tooth and nail in a rigged system? It's just crazy. And you know what I found out?
What's that?
So, do you know about all of the 5G network panic that's happening?
No.
So, a lot of people, like the same morons that are saying that the virus is a hoax, are, you know, get fed all this misinformation, susceptible to believe in anything, also believe that 5G, that 5G network signal caused the virus.
What? What?
Or is like causing cancer or causing all kinds of things. And this whole, and they were starting on this whole misinformation campaign against 5G for whatever reason a year ago.
Oh
a year ago, but now it's really starting to take hold in places like the UK where people are burning cell towers because of some fascination with this conspiracy theory. And we had posters up in our neighborhood in the fall.
Oh, I do remember that.
Remember that? They were like, it was well organized. Somebody went to Staples, printed out these color pages with this 5G propaganda, anti-5G propaganda. They had like placed them into these clear sheets and then taped the entire thing. So it was ridiculously hard to tear them down.
You know, I remember seeing those and feeling so confused about it. You know, Tanya says, get political. Yeah. I will get political, Tanya. I will. All right, so here's an issue.
Wait,
the 5G thing? All right, yeah. You finish, and then I'm going to get political for Tanya.
Throw it down. So, they discovered recently that the entire, surprise, surprise, the entire anti-5G propaganda is probably set up by Russian troll farms.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is.
I was like, well, who's... when you look critically at a piece of information, like an ad or propaganda, you always think like, okay, well, who does this stand to benefit? And I couldn't figure out, who does it stand to benefit, like, spreading all this, like, paranoia about, like, I don't know, like, you know, a new cell phone signal? I guess if it's another country that's doing so terribly, all it can do is try and destabilize other countries, which has been its MO. Maybe that's the solution. I don't know. But, you know, we're still figuring it out. But I was like, when I tore down, you remember, I took Finn out and we tore down like 100 of those signs. They're around the school. They're around the subway and the park. All the major, it was like very smartly done. They're like any place where people could just gather or in massive numbers. It wasn't just like on like some side street in the middle of nowhere. No, it was like exactly where they knew a ton of people would go. Now I feel like, wow, does it make me like a patriot for tearing down all those ridiculously dumb signs?
You just spit at me.
I'm so sorry.
It makes you gross.
It's because I ate cow tonight.
Ew.
My saliva glands are all weird.
Ew.
I think I'm allergic to eating cow.
This is why we don't eat red meat in the house. It's so gross.
Sorry about that.
You're gross.
Sorry.
I love you.
I have sweaty feet and apparently weird saliva glands.
And I still married him. I want to get political for Tanya and try to forget that that happened.
Do it. Sorry.
What's really gross?
Does that ever happen to you, parents out there?
Where you spit on each other? Not on purpose? Don't answer that. So one of the things that I have been thinking about a lot... We're losing it. We're losing it. It's been a week. It's been a week, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. About 7 or 8 months ago, to stick with me here, I got really into space. I started learning a lot about space and like the history of space travel, and I was really interested in our first trips into space and to the moon. And at the same time of being interested in that, I also learned about this movement of people who really believed that all the rich people were going to move to space and leave all the poor people behind on Earth to fend for themselves.
Right. There was a movie. It's called Elysium with Matt Damon.
Well, I never saw it, but that sounds like a great movie, and I'd like to watch it sometime. Hmm. So there is this whole movement in real life, not a movie, of people who had very, very real concerns about that. You know, it's just interesting to have been doing this kind of like, you know, on the side research about this time and these like feelings and these groups that would meet and talk about like how to counteract and how to make legislation and lobby to make sure that poor people weren't left behind. And here we are in the midst of this pandemic, and it does feel like a lot of people who had money left the city because, you know, one of the issues that I read about in the Gothamist today, which is the publication wing of NPR, it's like their newspaper for New York City, is that only 40% of New York City's census has reported.
Really?
And it's very low. And I was thinking to myself, why is that? Well, there's a bunch of reasons, you know, stress and stuff, but then also like a lot of people who live here aren't here right now. a lot of people who do live here aren't here full time, like people with money, you know, because they left to go to, you know.
I mean, you know, if you have a home. If you have a like and a second home, you know, go for it, you know.
I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, because like if you have money, that's so great and good for you, and yes, but it's just, I don't know. There's a class situation that's happening, and you know, Queens, where we live, like it became one of the fastest places to become overrun at the hospitals with the virus, and also it's the most diverse of all the boroughs. You have all these people living on top of each other in East Elmhurst and Jackson Heights, where you know a lot of and Flushing, where a lot of the situations were quite dire, and also information wasn't being, you know, spread in enough languages, and people weren't being communicated to in the ways that they needed. And you know, when we talk about inclusion, you know, also like more people in the Black and Brown communities are dying of this virus than in other communities. And why is that? You know, and people are talking about how they're more susceptible to some of the underlying health problems that other people who are not Black and Brown don't maybe have as much of an issue with. And like, well, why do they have an issue with that? And I think it's just bringing up a lot of like class issues that happen to also have a lot of overlap with race issues. And I don't want to get out of my league here and be talking, you know, about things that I don't know enough about. But I just want to point out that this isn't, it is an everybody issue, and it's being touched in everybody's being touched by this in some way, which does like make it a universal issue. But then there are communities that are being hit harder for different reasons, and that we need to be thinking about that and thinking about ways, especially as things start to get better for some communities, that we need to be remembering that for other communities, they're going to be grieving for a very long time, because so many more of their brothers and sisters are going to be you know, gone, you know, and whole, you know, areas will never be the same, because a whole chunk of that population just isn't there anymore. And I don't know, it's just, these are the things that I think about when I listen to the news and, you know, hear about all these different things.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading about, you know, day laborers, you know, where do day laborers live, you know? Not in like a, you know, three-story mansion. No, they're all living in crowded conditions, you know, and that's where the virus is going to spread quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why like old folks' homes are hard hit, because like they're not great places. You know, it's like there's not a lot of easily accessible hygiene and stuff like that, you know. So, and that just stresses people out. Stresses people out when, like, you know, maybe like what would be like the ideal situation, and then you look around at your situation and you're like, wow, this is, I'm actually at risk, and I just live here, you know. So I know that, you know, we can complain a little bit about like, man, this loan didn't come in and it feels stacked against us, but I know so many people in our city have it way worse.
Yep.
And so, you know,
well, and here's the thing too, is that, you know, I just went to pay our credit card. And so I remember last week, our friend Honey, who was in the chat, said, oh, you should check, because there's some credit card forgiveness things. And so I was like, huh, so I'll check. And our credit card company is Chase. And so I looked, and really, they're not really doing anything that I could see. You could apply for them to know that maybe some things would be harder for you. But if you don't pay, they're still going to charge you interest, just like they would have. There's like, it's like, what, maybe you're not going to charge an additional fee on top of the interest? Oh, that's so sweet. I don't know. It just felt like, whatever. Like, that's ridiculous. You know, like, so... That was a tough bill to pay. Well, maybe, between that and our taxes, oh, that
was maybe a tough week. Maybe we're reaching the tipping point. You know, it's like you know, revolutions, you know, only happen when things get so bad that people have nothing left to lose. And so, if people are dying, you know, and you're just feeling the heel crushing you into the dirt, and you lose something really important to you, then you have nothing left to lose, and you like that's when like fires and riots, etc., are going to happen. So, I don't know. I mean, I think everybody's been talking about how like the U.S. is like overdue, you know, to shake off the shackles of our terrible oligarchy, you know, because it's just like this whole thing is just exposing like how much more transparent our chains are, you know, like who took all that trillion of stimulus money? Not the people who are working on the front lines risking their lives right now. Not the people who are working on the front lines who can't quit, you know, like you have to go to work every single day. You know, a lot of people feel trapped, and who's getting those millions? Not us, you know? So it's just crazy unfair. And to look, at like one state north, or just like, you know, if you live in Buffalo, if you like look over the Peace Bridge, everyone on there 3 minutes after logging into a website, you know, was done and they got their money. And it just feels like, all right, we can like complain about how incompetent our federal government is or how stacked it is against like the common man or something. Like, okay, but you have to vote for things to change. So anyway, so there, we got political.
Yeah, yay. We got political, Tanya, just for you.
That's right.
It happened.
Yeah, thanks, Amy, for also weighing in chat.
Yeah.
No, so what we...
Our younger son's birthday's coming up. He's going to be 5. If anybody has any ideas for nice, fun things, indoor physical things for a 5-year-old that can fit in a very tiny, tiny apartment, let us know in the comments.
Early this morning you were saying like, ooh, we could get a doorway swing, but just they're not responsible when it comes to what we have in our doorway right now, which is kind of like a hanging hammock.
It's
thing.
Like a sensory pod, if anybody with kids knows what that is. It's like a piece of fabric that's attached at the at a top carabiner and then comes down to make this little like pod shape, and you can sit in it like a little nest.
And right, but they don't use it as a nest.
They do sometimes.
They use it mostly just to swing on, which is great, and to climb on.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I imagine like if there's a swing, they're like they're gonna be going fast and they're gonna hit something. It's not gonna be good.
It's gonna be an emergency room situation.
So we're just gonna have to figure out something else.
Yeah. Amy says climbing wall, trampoline, and gym mats. We have a trampoline. We don't have gym mats, but we could do more cushion stuff. There is this thing called the Nugget that a lot of my friends have, which is like couch cushions that become like a fort at any moment. So I've been thinking about that, but I don't know if we could get it in time for the birthday. And also, where would it live when we're not using it? Yeah. That's the question.
That's the thing. It's like, if we get more things, we're just like kind of packing ourselves in.
Also, there's no giving anything away right now. Like, you can't like drop anything off at the thrift store, which is heartbreaking. So, I don't know. It's really hard to like not give things away right now because I kind of want to go through things because we're here so much. But instead, you just have to, you know, repurpose things until they're dead, until they can't be repurposed anymore.
Yeah, and you never know what you're going to need, because we used so many things that were just sitting around collecting dust, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, wait a second, I could use that for this. Mm-hmm. You know, like we had a C-stand holding up this beautiful backdrop that I just had for at least a year. Because I just picked it up on the curb. I was like, oh my God, a C-stand for free?
Yeah, winner.
What?
Yeah, that
so
was a good day.
Now it's completely essential. So, and a couple other things too. A couple like worm lights, like a camera stand, like the tiny tripod that's holding this camera right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm kind of like, well, what else are we going to need? You know, it's like there's no junk on the curb because I've been outside a couple times. It's just completely different. So who knows? But hey, people can get married online now.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that today. Yeah. That's exciting. I keep wondering what the summer is going to be like. That'll be weird, being inside all the time during the summer.
No, we won't go. We won't be inside all the time.
Okay.
I got a plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the plan is some of her pets have to die, right? So that we can be more free to move into an empty space in the country or someplace. Or like we have to know somebody with like some kind of space.
This sounds a little more, like a bit of a more
with the backyard
plan. Do they have internet?
I have no idea. No idea. That because I just don't know where we go. But like, I feel like we have to escape. Like we gotta go, because that's what we do every spring and summer.
I know.
You leave the city. You have to leave the city. It's very important for your mental health. You leave the city for a couple weeks. Refresh yourself. You know, sit under a tree in the summertime with a cool breeze. And like smell nature. And then you come back and like, all right, now we're business as usual. So I feel like it needs to happen. We just got to figure out a safe way to do it. And we have one cat and two rats, but the rats are dying of breast cancer, but they're not dying fast enough for the vet to put them down. So kind of waiting.
Yeah, they're not well. It's a little sad.
It's very sad.
But yeah, it is very sad. It's just another sad thing that we're dealing with. So every day, you know, we try to make them as happy and comfortable as possible. So we'll see what happens with the rats, but I don't know what's going to happen with the summer. I'm glad that you have that as a plan, but wherever we go has to have internet. So, because Chad's parents' house, while it's really awesome and in the country, they really just don't have internet.
I feel like with everybody gone or everybody just moving around, there's got to be some kind of opportunity. There's got to be some kind of angle where we could leave, or at least like temporarily leave, you know, like get a pet sitter while we're gone, go to a, I don't know. It'd be like, you know, in the old life, it'd be like, oh, we'll just, you know, go to a motel somewhere. But now it's like, no, actually, we just want to stay away from everybody. So who knows?
Well, we'll see. I feel like mid-May, like a month from now, we'll know a lot more about what things are going to be looking like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wonder about cooling stations in the summer. I get nervous about people who don't have money, so they're not going to install air conditioners, so that there might be issues with heat exhaustion. There's a lot of things that I worry about that I probably shouldn't be worrying about because they're not happening yet. But
well, I thought about that too. You know, like a couple times it was a brownout because everyone was using their ACs on the hottest day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if that's every single day?
Although everybody's home. Although the companies won't have their air conditioners on. You know what I
that's
mean?
True.
Because they won't. Yeah, although at that point, you might have some jobs back, you know? I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like. And I also have a lot of concerns about kids who have, a lot of special needs. You know, they've been out of school for quite a while, and they need those, like, one-on-one companionship, like, you know, intervention work to help them to progress, and they're losing that time, and yeah. I don't know. I just have a lot of things to think about all the time, and then all the things that we're responsible for. But you know, one of the fun things has been doing the puppetry company stuff, you know, to bring it back to WonderSpark. It is fun though, because you know, even today in the birthday party, we did a birthday party for a little girl named Theo, and it was really fun in Brooklyn. If you're watching this, Theo, hi. It was really fun doing your birthday party today, because you know what? It gave me a reason to smile and to dance around a little bit and to make some puppets. And, you know, I like doing the shows and I like doing these workshops. And it gives us these little markers in our day of, like, fun things to look forward to. So.
Yeah, it's also a little stressful, too.
Yeah.
It's just the tech side. It's like once the show is actually starting and the tech is all taken care of, then it's like, all right, whatever. But it always feels like there's always a little bit of a hiccup. It's always something that you're forgetting because it's so, like, there's like this stress cloud that's like over your head all the time. That's just like all the stuff that you're worrying about or not even knowing that you're worrying about. And then trying to focus on like you're always going to forget something, you know? But
I forgot popsicle sticks for the craft today. I had this popsicle sticks for the puppet that I had made as the demo puppet. And then I had to put the demo puppet down and, like, tear the popsicle sticks off the demo so I could put them on my puppet that I was making with the birthday kits. Because I didn't have them in my kit for some reason. I think, I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking.
That was an interesting one. So we ran a Zoom meeting, or we ran a Zoom party today, which we hadn't like ran one, you know. But thank goodness we've been a part of camp hosting one, because man, they're pros. So I was like, all right, I'm just gonna yoink different parts of this from camp.
Well, things we learned from them. You know?
I mean, like,
positive influence.
Yeah, they're great. They're super smart. And I was like, wow, I learned a bunch. So when we had to host our own, it's like, okay, this is how we're gonna structure it. Mm-hmm. We're gonna have one person in front of the camera, one person moderating, who's like doing all the behind the scenes things. And then tomorrow I get to teach a bunch of puppeteers
how to do that.
How to do that. Yeah. So
absolutely.
So today I definitely learned some things, made some mistakes, but you know, like, nobody noticed.
Yeah.
You know, rebounded, and then we came out like, okay, that went pretty well.
Everybody learned stuff.
That's right.
And people were happy. So that's really what's important. And we made these adorable fish puppets. So
yes. Well, do you have one?
It's up there in the orange bag.
I'm gonna get it.
Get the one with the sticks. Not the one that's torn. Not the one that got... I didn't. That's the one that does not have the sticks.
Okay, hold on.
This is a non-sticked puppet. Our puppet performing partner, Christina Rodriguez.
That's right.
Made these puppets first. Oh, mine's facing the other way.
Hers are double-sided, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you didn't watch that part of the video.
I didn't.
Yep. Oh, well.
Whoops.
Well, yeah, these are pretty cool, though. I like the movement.
Can I show you one thing with them?
Go ahead.
I really like this this action. This little tail wiggle. I just really like it. Whee! Now it's a true puppet parent podcast because there's puppets.
Yay!
All right. Anything else that we want to talk about tonight,
Jack? If you want us to do more puppets on the podcast...
Because that's not weird.
Send us a message on our web zone, and we'll send you a pizza roll. No, actually, we won't send you a pizza roll.
Where do we send them?
I don't know.
We
will like your comments.
That's right. Yes, we will. all right, it's Sunday. You guys, tomorrow's a new week.
Pretty soon. Thanks to the door hearts have been doing, it'll be 36 days very soon. Coming up in 36 days, man.
The door heart. So we've been Chad's been cutting out a little heart each day and putting it on our front door.
I hope that people like big quarantine in their homes gives an appreciation for people locked up. Because imagine being like the same thing, except you're in one room with a roommate and a toilet in between your beds, and you can't leave and there's nothing to do.
I mean, I don't know. It's way worse. You can't really compare, because like, prison is its own thing.
I know, but I'm just saying, can we all have some sympathy for people who are locked up all the time? Now, I'm not saying that you need to sympathize for somebody who, you know, like, murdered somebody, but it's just like, ugh, our prison system.
Yes.
Ugh.
I will say that, ugh, our prison system.
Yay.
And Black Lives Matter.
There you go.
And all those things. I'm going to say goodnight with my fish puppet.
Okay, here, I'll say goodnight with the dead one.
It's not dead.
No, it's
just
upside
hasn't...
down.
No, stop.
It's upside down. It's a bad sign.
Come back.
It's a bad sign.
Flip yourself. Ooh. No, no, it's not time yet. It's not your time. Come back. There
I was
you go.
Just acting.
Oh, see?
It's
Hi.
Acting. You oh, should try it sometime.
That was really good.
Look at this. Look at this. No.
He's belly
dead.
Up. Oh!
I'm dead.
So bizarre. We never do this.
Oh, we're tired.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Okay. Good night, everybody. This is the part where I awkwardly end. Oh, I just kicked over my...
Good night, everybody.
Goodbye.
See you next week.